Senator Keating. Can you read us now the statement that you prepared, which explains your position and your feeling about this nomination?
Tonight, while surrounded by the circus atmosphere of this convention, is not the time, in my judgment, to make a decision regarding my future plans or those of the Republican Party. I will take time to think, alone with my conscience, free of the brass bands and the waving banners. I will endeavor to reconcile my sincere desire to support the Republican ticket with my equally sincere desire to maintain the convictions and the principles that brought me to San Francisco. I fought for these principles in this arena, and I will continue to fight for them as long as I am in public life. Unity in a party does not mean conformity. Naturally, I will not alter my views just for the sake of accommodation. More important than the election to any office is the maintenance of integrity of one's beliefs.
Senator Keating, that's an exceptionally strong statement. It's in line with your previous statement that you would campaign, if necessary, as an independent of Senator Goldwater, a major party's nominee. He has now been made your party's candidate for the presidency. What is your intention regarding supporting him and campaigning for your own reelection?
I have explained that as of tonight, I will not go beyond my statement.
Is there anything that you can tell us about your feeling about what has transpired here tonight?
I've tried to express it in my statement.
Thank you very much, Senator Keating. Waller.
As the delegates and the spectators here leave this arena where tonight Senator Barry Goldwater received the highest accolade that his party could bestow, the nomination for the presidency of the United States, outside Bill Stout has been keeping an eye on those floor demonstrators. Bill, what's going on now?
Walter, they have just started another one of these core marches. They have about 400 people here. Our camera is looking right down at them. And they're carrying at the head of their parade, perhaps you can see the floral piece, a casket that's labeled the Republican Party, 1860-1964. They have signs and chants to match it. They're singing Freedom Now. They're going right by the gate here, blocking the thousands of delegates and convention spectators who are trying to get out. I can hear even from here, and I'm high on a platform overlooking it, some of the shouts being traded by people from behind the fence. They don't like it a bit. But the police, again, are being very careful, doing their best to prevent any difficulty. Now, exactly what these core people have in mind, I really can't tell you. I do know that they've been saying all evening, this is one bit of the dressing for their show, and then they're going to make their big move. Your guess, Walter, is just as good as mine. Perhaps our high camera can show us the square that's being put up in back here. A silent vigil that was planned by the Convention Committee for Civil Rights. Your high camera should look right into it. A group of people, perhaps 50 of them, standing around holding signs with the names of those they identify as civil rights martyrs. Emmett Till, the three who died in Mississippi, we believe, the missing civil rights workers, the children killed in the church, Medgar Evers. They have John Kennedy's name up there, too. All those people have been standing there for about 45 minutes in absolute silence. But the interesting part, and we'll stay here and watch it, Walter, is what happens when the delegates mix with the core marchers, and if the core marchers make any move to impede the flow of people or vehicles out of here. Walter?
It seems a little quieter than last night, although more people are participating. They're at least not blocking the exits as they did last night.
Not yet.
Right, Bill. We'll keep an eye on it. Well, Eric, there it is. And I think in the closing statements here, we really got a reflection of the way a lot of people leave this the convention hall tonight. The appeal for unity from a good loser, William Scranton, but the obvious bitterness of a Senator Keating who has to run this year for re-election in a difficult state.
Yes, these were the sad, maybe sour is the word, notes follow this thing. Party unity generally holds. This party is obviously not going to split. Some individuals may split off or run independently, but that has happened many times before, and maybe Senator Keating will be one who will have to do that. If by some odd trick of fate the nomination had been snatched away from Senator Goldwater at the last moment, then I think, in the temper of these conservatives, that you might have had a split party. Don't you agree, Walter?
Yes, I think it's possible, although it's a little hard to predict what they might have done in the heat
of
their conflict.
Their passion was much deeper, and there were more of them. This was the whole concentration here of an old American heritage, this conservative cast of mind and conception of what American life should be. Now, the platform won't make so much difference. Everything the nominee now says will be the voice of this party. He will symbolize it. This quiet and homespun appearing man from a very small southwest state has been given the second highest honor that can be given in the political life of this country, short only of the presidency itself. And against a polished, highly educated man from a very large eastern state, Governor Scranton, it was a case of 4 years of hard work against 4 weeks of very hard work. And the outcome has not been in doubt, at least since California last June 2nd. Well, anything we can say now, Walter, would be just epilogue and just footnotes to what I think is a pretty important page in American history, because this party now has taken a different turn. In a sense, it's a new party, though these roots are very old. And this turning comes at a time when we are in the middle of the great effort by the Negro Americans to come into their long-delayed quality of equality in American life. And that is the heart issue, really, in this whole affair we've watched for the last 3 days. And the question for everyone now is what effect this turn of this great party is going to have in the context of this fundamental social issue that we're all trying to live through. What effect it will have on the mind and the nerve ends of the American people between now and November. I would think now that the first problem is not so much for Mr. Goldwater and his people to patch up differences with the moderate or liberal wing of the party. There are many conservatives who must be reconciled. That is, people like the leader in Ohio, Mr. Bliss, and others. And then they must start to build their own organization in those states like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Michigan, where they have not had the strong organization. It would be interesting if we had the time and our brains weren't so numbed, at least mine is, to check and see where these delegations that gave Mr. Goldwater their majority vote, what they did in 1960 in the general election. Did they take the state for the Republican Party or did they not? That might give a better conception of the real strength of what he has put together here. I don't think there's any much point in our trying to speculate about what is going to happen next November. Mrs. Luce, was it, tonight, who said that the polls show or claim that Mr. Goldwater could not win. Well, of course they don't do that. They merely reflect the sentiment they find as of today. A lot of things can change in any political campaign. You made an interesting observation, it must have been hours ago now, Walter, I don't even know what day it is anymore, that the word liberal was not really used anymore by the middle of the road or left of center Republicans, those from the East and the North, that they went to great efforts, all of them here, to establish their credentials as conservatives. The word, I suppose, is moderate these days. It's not,
but they use conservatives. Scranton used conservative.
Yes,
Romney
indeed.
Used conservative.
And Milton Eisenhower went to great effort to attach the label of conservative to Governor Scranton. I don't know where all of them will go now. Certainly Senator Keating has a great problem. And I'm not sure the effect of this Negro walkout, was it only two finally in the end? that left the... They're leaving the party, as I take it, not just the convention.
That seems to be their attitude as of tonight. Of course, it remains to be seen what the attitude is when a little calm prevails after the excitement of the immediate balloting and the argument and being voted down on the civil rights plank. It's very hard for a lot of, almost anybody who has really devoted themselves to party work to leave a party.
It's not an easy thing to do. Once you leave the party home, you really have nowhere to go. Very few men have successfully done that. Senator Wayne Morris in Oregon did it, ended up on the Democratic side. But that's almost impossible if you want a political career in this country. You may disagree with everything the platform says or the nominee says, but you do not throw away your badge.
That's where the links, that's where the strength is, that's where your friends are, that's where your contacts are for future races, and that's where the money is very frequently. And if you leave, it's rather hard to convince the other side you're really with them. Now in our newsroom just off of the convention floor is Harry Reasoner with some press reaction. Harry?
Walter, the editorial writers are watching this Republican story in presumably even more remote and quiet locations than you are, so their assessment should be valuable. You have to look for two things. Do they think Senator Goldwater is the right choice? And like him or not, do they think that he can win? Well, the majority of American papers are Republican, of course, which gives them a particular right, they feel, to tell the party whether it is doing the right thing or not. Right now, a large number of very influential papers very loudly don't like the outcome of this convention. But Senator Goldwater has some giants on his side, too. One side is typified by the New York Herald Tribune, which says that things are so bad that a complete rebuilding must be done, and today is the day for the moderates to start. Papers like the Tribune complain that the party has been hijacked by an unrepresentative minority. They don't think that these zealots know what they're doing. The course is nebulous, says the Chicago Sun-Times, even in the minds of those taking over. But the Chicago American, which is owned by the Chicago Tribune, says that Goldwater will enable the people to choose conservatism, if that is what they want, instead of Me Too-ism. The Dayton, Ohio Journal-Herald not only doesn't like Goldwater, they call him the weakest candidate since Alf Landon. But the Minneapolis Star notes that Goldwater supporters claim that Goldwater is the catalyst for a development that is a good thing for American parties, one that is called the polarization of political thought, so that instead of having mixed up and feuding groups within each party, the progressives among the Republicans can drift to their natural Democratic home, and the Democrats, unhappy with administration philosophy, can join the conservatives among the Republicans. The argument against this, of course, has been voiced by people like Walter Lippmann, who thinks that a clear-cut division of parties would be dangerous, that the genius of our system has been the necessity for each party to find a consensus, a position near the mainstream, which has had so many clichés dropped in it the past few weeks. That attitude is nearer the position of the New York Times, a major editorial force, which has urged the Republicans to reject Goldwater and calls his victory a triumph for the hardcore right wing. One other question the newspapers are considering is whether Barry Goldwater can carry the South or any substantial portion of it. We checked some reporters from the South here at the convention. They seem to feel he has a better chance than any other Republican since Reconstruction, that a lot depends on as yet unknown factors. What Democratic Senator Harry Byrd does in Virginia, for instance. If there's a preponderance of newspaper opinion against Goldwater in this country, overseas it's practically unanimous and much stronger, from Moscow to Rio, from Monrovia to London. This wouldn't surprise any of the people out on the floor who whooped it up for Barry tonight. It's one of the reasons they like him. In fact, the largest newspaper in the United States, the New York Daily News, says that Goldwater has at least one thing going for him, European opposition. That means, says the news, that the Europeans are afraid Goldwater, as president, wouldn't take advice and orders. And that's the best example of a way a lot of Goldwater people feel, that their man is so disliked by some newspapers and columnists and intellectuals and foreigners because he sees through them and proposes to sharply reduce their weakening internationalist influence. Since this is so, Goldwater supporters believe, every knock from these sources is a boost. Back to you, Walter.
So this 55-year-old merchant from Phoenix, Arizona, becomes one of the very few candidates of a major party to come from west of the Mississippi and carries the banner, indeed, of a modern resurgence of southwestern and western influence, or modern surge of influence. It's hardly a resurgence of influence in a major political party. The power structure has moved to that part of the country.
One reason it has moved, I think, Walter, is that an awful lot of economic muscle money has moved from the east into that part of the country. And this whole arc from the Texas oil fields on across to California, lower California, with all its new industries, there's a great deal of economic muscle now. Eastern money, so-called, Wall Street money, whatever you call it, isn't as necessary as it used to be.
You know, Senator Dirksen, in his nominating speech for Senator Goldwater so many hours ago here at the Cow Palace today, made a point of the fact that quotations are frequently used from 10 years ago to try to explain a man's philosophy today or to be held against him. I don't suppose that Senator Goldwater, or Senator Dirksen, Senator Goldwater either for that matter, would take particular umbrage if we made note of a quote from October the 7th, 1960, not quite 4 years ago, to prove that when all of us go around wondering what a man is going to do and trying to figure out, we sometimes just don't believe him, his old statements. He said, Senator Goldwater, on October 7th, 1960, when asked about what his position would be if Nixon were defeated in November, as Nixon was, he said, "I'm for Dick Nixon, but on the premise the question presents, I will not hesitate to submit in 1964 for the presidential nomination."
He meant every word all the way, and too many people did not take him seriously. He said at the 60 convention in that platform speech, remember, "Let's take this party back, we can do it." Now the Herald Tribune, representing the moderate Republicans, says, "This is a grand triumphal beginning for Senator Goldwater. For the moderates, it's the beginning of a long march so that they can try to take it back again as they've had it the last 20 years.
Eric, let's go outside the Cow Palace to Bill Stott. Bill?
Walter, I'm here on the access roads that lead from Geneva Avenue into the Cow Palace parking areas, and Corr gave us the big one that we had been promised, a mass sit-in blocking all these lanes. It's about six lanes wide. Traffic is backed up immediately. Only a few of the people had gotten out before the Corr people made their big move. We have some cameras out here. I don't know if you're getting any pictures yet. A couple of hundred of the sit-ins sitting here, shouting, Goldwater must go. All of them on the pavement, all the cars backed up, police officers everywhere, and the traffic is just a mess. It looks like midtown of your town, Manhattan, at one of the worst rush hours. What they're going to do about it, I really don't know. Some of the people driving out of the convention decided to back up in the middle of the street and turn around, and they got caught. Buses are there, cars, everything. And now there seems to be some confusion among the Corr leaders. Some of them started to get up and walk away. Now they're coming back in and sitting down again. It's an incredible mess, Walter. How long it'll last, what the officers will do, I don't know. All the command people from the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office and the Highway Patrol rushed over here as soon as the Corr gentlemen and ladies sat down. Now they're singing another of those songs, We Shall Overcome. But the command people, while they're huddling off to the side somewhere, haven't yet given any orders. Some delegates standing around, looking on curiously. And again, no incidents, so far as I've been able to see. No one has taken a poke at anyone. Quite a few in the crowd obviously would like to, but seem to be gritting their teeth, stepping over and around the sit-ins, trying to get past. And in one car after another, just parked and waiting. The police now are trying to root them out the back. And if you know that road, it's a narrow thing that winds around through the hills, finds its way back down to Bayshore and the freeway. That's going to be something, getting all these cars out of that one little road. So this is what they had in mind, Walter. This is what they talked about. This is what they alternately promised and hinted at and threatened. And it certainly has worked. They put the stopper right in the Cow Palace exodus. Anything you'd like to know from here before we get cameras in and can show it to you?
Bill, no, we've got cameras. We can see it pretty well. We're seeing it from a high shot there.
Fine.
Getting a very good view of just what you're telling us, even though you're apparently stuck without a monitor out there and can't see what's on the air. It's almost as if you were watching it. It's been a description of just what we're seeing. Bill, I wonder, have you talked to any of the Corr people? There were no surprises inside the hall, really, except the unfurling of the banner, and that one individual who we never definitely established was Corr, unless you did, that who sat down in front of the podium was promptly carried right out. But I wondered, did they have anything planned from the gallery that didn't come off? Do you have anything?
No, apparently that's all they wanted to do. Chet Duncan is right here. Maybe I can talk to him. Chet? What can you tell us about what you're going to do here? How long?
We intend to turn these people back into the Cow Palace. They have completely overlooked all decent principles of government. This whole convention was a rigged thing from the start. Our people were bodily thrown out of this convention. Scranton supporters were thrown out of the convention, denied entrance to the floor. A Negro delegate was burned by some delegate on the floor. I think this is a disgrace to the American public. We're going to sit here.
Are you going to sit here all night?
We'll sit here until we have determined the effectiveness of our protests, that what these delegates have done here in San Francisco is utterly ridiculous.
Apparently they have a back road out of here, and all they have to do is turn them all around. It may take a little longer, but they'll all get out.
It's good.
Did you have any plans for inside the Cow Palace itself that didn't come off?
I understand we had a few things going for us inside.
Not very much, though. I wondered if you planned more.
Well, as I said, our people were bodily thrown out of the Cow Palace. They were about to join one of the demonstrations, and the doors were shut in their faces. As I said, this thing was a rigged thing from the start. In fact, I don't see why they had to have a convention in the first place, because it was rigged in 1960.
Is it true that somebody for CORE said tonight that CORE wants Goldwater with a rope?
CORE will never say anything like that at all.
How about some of the signs you've had comparing him with Hitler?
Those are not CORE signs.
No, they were in the line.
Well, that's the fault of the monitors. Those signs should have been removed.
There were quite a few of them.
Well, again, there were quite a few people joining our demonstration.
They seem now to be turning the traffic back. You're going to go on sitting here?
We'll sit here a while, see what happens.
Right.
They've got enough of a traffic jam down there to worry about it.
And that was the point of it?
That was the point of it.
Right. Well, Walter, that's Chet Duncan, who's one of the local leaders of CORE. And I think that gives you a pretty good idea of how he and his people feel. If they can make life difficult or uncomfortable for the Republican convention crowd, they're delighted. And they're certainly doing it here tonight by creating this mess in the traffic.
Okay,